In the 28th verse of this 20th chapter, Matthew records these words, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The mission of Christ in this world was distinct, and it was definite. The ministry of the gospel should also be clear and transparent. There's nothing uncertain about it. Many professors of religion ignore the doctrine of the atonement as given in the Bible, and they speak not of Christ dying, or of Christ being buried, or of Christ being raised to heaven. But the gospel bell has only one tone. There is no remission from sin without the shedding of blood. There is no salvation apart from the offering of Christ. This message never wearies the believer's heart. It never fails to be the power of God unto salvation for every one of the elect. Christ came not to set a good example, but to die for our sins. I want to bring you a message today, if the Lord will help me, that I have entitled, "The Ministry of Our Lord." There's a couple of things I want us to see here from this verse of Scripture. One of them is, there's a plain declaration here of God's Word. The Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. He's not a man, not just a man. He's the Son of Man. But he's also the Son of God. And our Lord speaks of himself often as the Son of Man. He's the true Messiah. He's the infinite and eternal Son of God. He's the Son of Man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He's the second Adam, in whom mortals are made alive by God's grace. This person who you are admonished to trust is the God-man. The next word in our text tells us that he came. The Son of Man came. This was a strange task for the man who came. He's God Almighty. He sits on the throne of universal authority over the whole creation. And yet he came to this world as the poorest of men, as a carpenter and a lay preacher. He stepped down from the throne of glory to lay in the manger of Bethlehem. We hear a lot about that manger at the Christmas season of the year, as people call it. But I think it's a great truth that people need to focus on. That baby that laid in that manger was not a normal baby. That was the Son of God. And he had come to dwell among us to do God's work. He had a ministry to carry on. He stepped down from the thrones of glory to lay in that manger. He came voluntarily on an errand of mercy to the sons of men. We have a share in the redemptive work of Christ, our Redeemer. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. The Lord of glory became a man to serve and to minister to the souls and hearts of men and women. He came to serve without a selfish thought in his soul. Jesus came to die. He didn't come with any idea of being put on a throne. He didn't come with any idea of being exalted by men. He didn't come with any idea of being the overwhelmer of the Roman Empire. He came to be God's servant. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to serve his people. Now, most people serve their king, or their lord, or their president. But this man who was the exalted king of the universe came to serve us. He gave up his body and his soul and his spirit to serve his chosen ones, the ones the Father had chosen before the foundation of the world and had given to him as a gift before time began. He came for that reason. Like the thief on the cross, I rejoice to see his merciful death. That thief on the cross had once mocked the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had touched him and given him life, made him see Christ as he was. And when he saw him, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord's words to him were very kind. "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." Christ gave his life freely to supply our every need. He did not come just to be an example. A lot of folks think Jesus just came to be a good example. He was a good teacher. He was a wise man. But that's all you see. You missed the point. He didn't come to be a wise man. He came to reveal the Godhead. You want to see God? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. To ignore this doctrine is to reject Christianity. It's that serious. You deny his deity. You deny his godliness. You reject Christianity. There is no Christianity, no matter what people say, that does not have a king who sits on a throne. He died by enduring the anguish of death as no mortal could. They beat him in a way that most people died from it. And yet he survived. They nailed him to a cross and left him there to die. And before they could break his legs, as they did most men on crosses, he gave up the ghost and passed from this world. I tell you, the holy feet of eternal vengeance have trod upon him until sacred blood is abundantly shed. It must be clearly understood that his death is our ransom. His death is our refuge. His death is our rescue. In the old Jewish law, there was a ceremony of redemption. Every firstborn male child was taken to the temple and money was paid. It was called the sacrifice of redemption to picture his death. If no redemption price was paid, that child would be cut off, outcast. Every believer for whom Christ died is redeemed by grace. The Lord of glory, if you're a believer, he paid for your sins before you were ever born, before you were ever thought about by anybody except God. As a slave was redeemed by the payment of a price, so Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. I'm always intrigued, I really am, by how many people are just so infatuated with the law. They put signs up in their yards. Somebody around here in Mercer County, I've seen somewhere they got a tombstone sitting in the front yard with the Ten Commandments carved on both sides of it. I've always wanted to know who it belonged to. I'd like to ask them, what are you celebrating? There's no good news in the law. None at all. The law is a condemnation of every human being, without exception. And if Christ did not pay the price, then we have no hope for mercy. Our text also tells us that he died for many as their ransom. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life as a substitute for chosen sinners. You may not be aware of this, but in the earlier days of our country, there were some states that had a law of substitution. And if a man was condemned of a capital offense and was sentenced to the death penalty, and he had enough money, he could pay somebody to take his punishment. And they would be executed. They were innocent and free, and yet they were broke. And they were executed, and the man who was guilty and had been condemned by the courts was set free. That's what Christ did for us. He put himself in a place of many. And he paid all of their debt. I'm always intrigued with Christians who are constantly fretting and fluttering about in their lives about this sin or that sin that they may have committed today or yesterday or last week or last year or 10 years ago. Listen to me. If the Lord of glory did not pay for all your sins, you're going to hell. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. The Lord knows them who are His, and He atoned for every one of them. He paid the price. The debt He paid can never be collected again. God is holy, but He's also just. And if someone died and paid for all your sins, and God brings you to faith in that one and then condemns you, then God is unjust. Here is the mainstay of every true Christian's sacred confidence: to give his life a ransom for many. They know Christ died for them because He told them so. You can't read the gospel in the Bible without knowing that Christ died for somebody. And if you believe God, it's pretty clear who He died for. No one can be condemned for whom Christ died. They're innocent under God's law. God cannot and will not demand two payments for one debt. Someone wrote these words: "Turn then my soul unto your rest, the merits of your great high priest. Speak peace and gracious liberty. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear your banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee." The best news I ever heard. Best news I ever heard. The second thing I want you to see in this verse is that there are some very positive implications here from Christ's death. To give his life a ransom for many. You know, humans can never be delivered from the bondage of sin without the payment of a just price. There are all kinds of people in this world that are just absolutely convinced that God's going to show mercy to them. I tell you, God will not show mercy to you outside of His Son. If Jesus Christ didn't die for you, there's no hope for you. Every captive of sin must be redeemed before they can be delivered. No sin against God is ever pardoned without propitiation. Propitiation is a Greek word that means to be covered. I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I know I'm a great sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ has covered all my sins with His shed blood until the Father can't see them. That's the greatest hope anybody ever had. The justice of the law of God must be fully satisfied. God has to be satisfied with what's offered. He'll never be satisfied with anything less than your soul. That's what it takes. And you must die forever unless a sacrifice is found for your soul. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't stand at the judgment and look upon you and say, "That one's mine," there's no hope for you. If Christ redeems for sinners who receive His payment, not so to Satan. We never belong to him. He has no righteousness. People always think they belong to Satan. They think God and Satan are in a battle trying to decide who's going to get you. I'm going to tell you something. There's no battle. There's no indecision. There's no questions involved. If the Lord of glory has chosen you and seeks your atonement and your mercy in His Son, there's nothing but hope for you. But if He has not, then there is no hope for you. God has sworn and will not change. Sin must be punished. God would never be right if He passed over sin without punishment. Some of you have children, grandchildren. I don't know, maybe a few of you got great-grandchildren. And I notice people with children, they look on children, they say, "Well, he didn't mean anything by it, or she didn't mean anything by it, it'll be okay." That's our human weakness. I'll tell you, God never says that. God either says it's cleansed in Christ, or judgment must come. Must come. It has to be punished. You say, "Well, how are we saved?" We're saved because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He was punished for our sins, and He paid the cost of our sins, and He brought atonement for our sins. Thank God a soul has been given. Thank God a life has been offered. The just has died for the unjust to satisfy the Father. The Lord of glory has absolutely paid the entire debt for His people. Everything they owe. I went to a restaurant the other day, and I don't hear as well as I used to. And the lady told me, said $7.16. I thought that's what she said. And I gave her a $10 bill, and she said, "Do you have any change?" And I said, "No, I don't ever keep change." And she said, "Well, we'll eat this 16 cents. I said, "How much was it?" I misunderstood. She said, "It was $10.16. I said, "Well, here, let me give you another dollar. I got dollars. I just don't have any 16 cents. God will not take $7.16 for $10 worth of sin. Somebody has to pay the whole bill. What's the result of the Lamb's bloody sacrifice? I tell you, universal redemption gives no hope to any sinner. Across this county this morning, men are standing in pulpits and they're preaching to people that Jesus has died for everybody. We all got the same opportunity and the same hope and the same chance. They're liars. The Bible does not teach that. Jesus died for his covenant people. Who are they? I don't know. That's why I preach to everybody. But any redemption that depends on the will of the creature for its power is just a miserable failure. Miserable failure. No hope there. Every soul for whom Christ died as a substitute, he will soon claim as his own. If not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then next week. The travail of his soul shall be satisfied for his elect. I've never had a baby. I've never been around when a baby's being born, to be honest with you. Thank God I'm old enough I didn't have to do that, but the young fellows now, they get to endure the wrath of the women. But I've heard men tell stories. My wife said, "You better enjoy this one because there won't be any more unless you have it." Until the baby comes, then they're happy. The travail of the soul shall be satisfied for his elect. Greatest question I must ask you is, did Christ redeem you? All I see when I look at this crowd of people is faces. And I don't know what's behind the faces. Some of you I have an idea, others I don't know. This is a serious issue. Are you redeemed or are you not? Have you believed Christ as preached in the gospel message? You know, the devil believes. He believes intelligently. And he trembles. But he's not saved. Make sure you trust Christ. For if you have, then all is settled with you. All settled with you. Rejoice that if Christ has redeemed you, then you can never be a slave again. Free at last, free at last. Thank God above, we're free at last. He must be your refuge. Fly under the cleft of the rock and rest there. Rest all of your blackness and sin on his holy atonement. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Old songwriter once wrote these words, "Come guilty souls and fly away and look to Jesus' wounds. This is the accepted gospel day wherein free grace abounds. God loved his church and gave his son to drink the cup of wrath. And Jesus says he'll cast out none who come to him by faith." That's good news. The word of God clearly declares that God sent his son to be our redeemer. The Bible is filled with beneficial implications that result from his death. I've heard people mourning at death and say, "I don't know how I'll ever recover. I don't know what God was thinking to take my loved one away," and this, that, and the other. And I understand your pain as human beings, but don't put it on God's charge. because God gives us people to be family and friends, and He takes them back again. If you are here and don't know Christ, I pray that God will give you saving faith. We must all rejoice in the abundant mercy of our God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give His life a ransom for many. Amen.